Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Carol Topp from Homeschool CPA. Happy 2018. I hope to meet some of you in 2018. I will be speaking at 3 homeschool conventions, Teach Them Diligently in Atlanta in early April, the Great Homeschool Convention in Cincinnati, Ohio, the second week of April, right after Easter. And then I'll be back with Teach Them Diligently in Columbus, Ohio. That'll be in June of 2018. So if you attend any of those homeschool conventions, hey, stop by my booth, Homeschool CPA, introduce yourself, and we can talk about what it's like to lead a homeschool group. I look forward to meeting you. I'm doing a 5-part series to launch 2018 about managing your money in a homeschool organization. In the first episode, I talked about the importance of separating the duties so the treasurer doesn't do it all. And in this episode, I want to talk about bank reconciliation. It is just one of the most important tasks that your organization should do to manage your money well, to fulfill your fiduciary responsibility of managing that money that people entrust to you. And unfortunately, you know, people don't do bank reconciliations, and it just hurts my CPA heart. For example, I was getting ready to do the IRS annual information return for a very large homeschool group where they have to file a Form 990 and 990EZ on paper. And they sent me their QuickBooks file. Fabulous. So I'm looking through the QuickBooks file and I'm seeing all kinds of mistakes. Mistakes the way they enter things, mistakes on their balance sheet, which I will talk about the balance sheet in another 3 episodes. And I email the treasurer, the board member, the treasurer who has oversight of this organization. Now, I believe they hired a bookkeeper, but I contacted the treasurer and I said, I'm finding all these mistakes. Are you reconciling your checking account? Because I knew if they had been reconciling the checking account, it would have found all these mistakes, because these things they were entering were not in the bank, you know? And to me, the bank statement is basically the gospel. Bank statement is the truth. It is the record of what came into your checking account, what left your checking account. But what you put in your record keeping system, be it QuickBooks or some kind of software, it should match what the bank says came in and didn't, or left, came in as deposits or left as expenses. And that's why I say the bank, what the bank statements has written down, is the truth. Banks rarely make mistakes. Okay. I've been reconciling my own checking account for I'm married 33 years, okay, and my own business account, and I did reconciliation of bank accounts for some organizations, never found the bank to make a mistake. Okay, now you're all going to email me and say, well, my bank did, but normally banks do not make mistakes. So normally humans make mistakes on their record keeping. And so this is the best way to check that what your treasurer or your bookkeeper is recording in your accounting software, be it QuickBooks or something else, is matched to what the bank records say. Okay, so it needs to be done. Now, I talked in the last episode about the separation of duties, and I said the treasurer should not be doing the bank reconciliation, because the treasurer, I assume the treasurer, when I talk about treasurer in homeschool groups, it's usually the active treasurer who's also doing the bookkeeper. So let me switch my language a little bit and say the bookkeeper, the person who's entering the transactions, is not the one who does the bank reconciliation. They need to be different people. So you could have a bookkeeper, a volunteer, or a paid bookkeeper, and the treasurer is a different person. The treasurer is the one who has oversight and responsibility and sits on the board. And that's the way my homeschool co-op ran for a little while. They had someone willing to be the treasurer, but she didn't want to do the nitty-gritty work of the bookkeeper. So she did the bookkeeping, and then the treasurer, a different person, did the bank reconciliation. That's one way you could work it out. Or that's also why I recommend online software, which I'll talk about in the next episode, online software, because it allows 2 people, the bookkeeper to enter the transactions and the treasurer to do the bank rec, or If you don't have a bookkeeper, the treasurer is the bookkeeper. Someone like the chairman or the vice chair can do the bank rec. Okay. The reason you have to do a bank reconciliation is because this will prevent fraud, all right, and mistakes. Now, fraud does happen in homeschool groups, not very often, because usually we're dealing with very honest people, but mistakes can happen more often. All right, so we're trying to find out if we made a mistake, and that's what a bank reconciliation will reveal. All right, so how do you do a bank reconciliation, and what do you look for? That's what I want to talk about next. How you do it, well, I am not going to cover that in a 10-minute podcast episode here, mostly because bank reconciliations are so visual. So what I recommend you do is Google it and go to YouTube. There are bunches of videos on how to do a bank reconciliation, and it will help you tremendously to look at some YouTube videos, watch the ones that get high number of views, or, you know, lots of thumbs up, or that you seem to understand the best. So go on YouTube and learn how to do a bank reconciliation. If you're using software like QuickBooks, then Google or put in the YouTube search QuickBooks bank reconciliation, and they'll show you exactly how to do it on QuickBooks or whatever software you're using. And when you're doing the bank reconciliation, what you're looking for is things that don't jive or that are missing. For example, if your bank charges you bank fees, you'll see that on the bank statement. Well, then you have to remember to enter it into your bookkeeping system, whether that's your software or spreadsheet or something. Oh, like you look at the bank statement, you go, oh, shoot, I forgot. You know, I have a bank fee. Or if your bank pays you interest, it's becoming more rare, but if they do pay you interest on your checking account, make sure you reconcile that and put that into your record-keeping system. You're also looking for checks that have not cleared yet. So, gosh, we had, when I was my co-op treasurer, there was this woman I had written a check to, and a month would go by, and I could see from the bank statement, this hasn't cleared. You know, I'm reconciling the bank statement. I said, gosh, this check isn't cleared yet. It's been a month. I gave it to her a month ago. Another month went by. Finally, I contacted her and I said, I gave you this check 2 months ago and you haven't cashed it yet. She's like, oh, I think it's in the bottom of my purse. Well, could you please cash it so that our bank records are accurate, up to date? You have this outstanding check. So stay on top of those and make sure people are depositing the checks that you write them and clearing the bank. Another thing you're looking for when you're doing the bank reconciliation are deposits that might be missing. Like maybe in your record keeping, you know that on, you know, September 1st, you made a deposit, and maybe the next day you made another deposit. You look at the bank statement and only one of those two deposits is showing up. Holy cow, what happened? Well, I don't think the bank lost it. You know, maybe you made a mistake and you recorded something twice, or maybe, God forbid, somewhere in some of the transition, the money was stolen, taken, lost, especially with cash. You know, it's too easy to embezzle things. So you're looking for checks that you thought you deposited, but the bank doesn't see or show that they got. And then finally, bounced checks. I hope that doesn't happen too often, but it can. And if you have a bounced check and you're using QuickBooks or other accounting software, please just don't start entering things. There is a very specific way that QuickBooks wants you to enter these bounced checks and the fees. And if you collect a fee from the person who bounced the check, there's very specific ways to enter that. So go on YouTube, go on Google, start searching bounced check in whatever software, QuickBooks or whatever software you're using, and do it the way they tell you to, because I have seen folks really mess up their record keeping system when they just entered bounce checks as they thought it was to be done, and it's not. QuickBooks is wonderful, but QuickBooks is fussy, and you got to do things the way QuickBooks wants you to do things, or you'll completely mess up your accounting system. So, bank reconciliation, what can I tell you? You have got to do it, ladies and gentlemen. You have got to do it. And you have got to show your board that you reconciled that bank statement every month. Every month. Don't let it go too long or it's quite the chore. I belonged to my church. My church grew from a small church to a large church, and our volunteer bookkeeper couldn't keep up. He was a volunteer. He wasn't paid. He couldn't keep up. And so the one thing he stopped doing was balancing the checking account. And this went on for years and years and years. He hadn't balanced the checking account in many years, and we finally said, enough, we're a big organization now. We need to get a proper paid, trained bookkeeper in here. And we hired a CPA to clean up our books. And he said, I can't figure out but where it all went, but basically you're different from the bank. Your record keeping is different from the bank by $50,000. $50,000, ladies and gentlemen, over many years, because the volunteer treasurer never did a bank's reconciliation. So please don't be like my church. Please. What we ended up doing was telling the CPA, well, we'll take a $50,000 write-off, because he said it's not worth his time to go back all those years and try to figure out what all the little mistakes, the little problems, those things I mentioned, bank fees, interest, uncleared checks, stuff like that. We don't think our treasurer was embezzling. We just think he was overworked, but he was asked to step down, and we hired, like I said, a CPA, a bookkeeper, and a whole staff to start to. Now we have about 3 or 4 full-time staff people managing our finances at our church. It's a big church now. Okay. So anyway, that was how I learned the importance of bank reconciliations when I served as the, on the board of trustees at my church. I want you to do your bank reconciliation. Okay, please tell me you're going to do it. Even if you don't have to report to the IRS like that client I was telling you about at the beginning of this podcast, it's just so important. Again, you are taking people's money. You have a responsibility to manage it well. And you don't know if you're managing it well unless you're reconciling the checking account. And you, if you're a board member, not the treasurer, if you're the board chair or board member, you should be getting a statement. We're going to talk about financial statements in the next podcast episode here, or sorry, one after that, in a future podcast about the financial statements. But you should also be getting a bank reconciliation statement. He should print out, he or she, the treasurer or the bookkeeper should print out something to you that says, I reconciled the bank account. Here's the statement, you know, that QuickBooks gives me, your software gives you. I guess bank recs can be done by hand. I haven't done it by hand in over 20 years, so I don't even know how to do it by hand anymore, but you could do it by hand and show it to the board. But the board should be following up and saying, is that bank account being reconciled every month? Well, it needs to be, because that's part of our job as board members, as responsible people running this group. And that's what this podcast is trying to help you do, folks, trying to help you manage your money well. I don't think I've mentioned, but I do have a book called Money Management in a Homeschool Organization. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it at my website, homeschoolcpa.com. And the whole point, the purpose of Homeschool CPA is to help you run your homeschool organizations better so that you do what you do best, which is helping homeschool parents homeschool their kids. And thank you for doing that. Very important.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.